Welcome aboard. I'm Brad.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Scott. Welcome to My Ship Story Podcast.
This is a podcast where we invite crew members, both past and present, to tell their stories about life at sea.
So come up to the pool bar and grab a drink.
Sit back, relax, because it's time for
My Ship Story. God, that was terrible.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of My Ship Story Podcast. I'm Brad. Got with me Scott and Eric, as usual. What's happening, Eric? Got anything to lay on us since Wednesday?
No, not much different. I like to see that your energy has gone up about a tenth of a point a couple days ago.
I'm trying to keep it low-key.
Low-key. Anyway, no.
Yeah, we see.
Yeah, nothing much today. I mean, my house is still full of people working, like most of the day today. Putting indoors, finally finishing up the floors. So I'm hoping to have everybody out with just like really small things left, hopefully by the end of this week, so I can have the house back to myself again. Exciting stuff.
Yeah. Scott, got anything to lay on us?
Man, since Wednesday, I don't know. Isn't today Thursday?
We met on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
We had a day off.
In the last 6 months, we've done nothing. And now we're like 2 days ago. We can't even remember what day it is. I'm just getting ready for this 24 season on makes films and stuff. So just getting all that ready.
Yeah, we had to cram our schedule in because we finally got a chance to get our very special guest on that we've got today. Because I think he has canceled on us more, far more than anyone else. We've had people cancel on us before, but I don't think
record
we've had
setting.
Anybody. Yeah. I don't think we've had anybody cancel on us.
Well, not canceled, just postponed. Right?
Oh, postponed.
Don't say canceled yet. He's he hasn't come on yet. He can. Like,
yeah, James, don't cancel. Don't cancel now. But anyway, very special guest. Welcome to the podcast, James Gregory. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure to finally be here and not cancel on you again.
Yeah, we love it. We love it.
So do you go by James or do you have a nickname?
No, it's James. It's James. I keep to the typical English name.
All right. Okay. We're just going to call you Greg.
Well, that makes sense.
I answer to worse.
We all have.
All right. Well, as usual, tell us a little bit about how you got started working on ships. How did it happen for you?
My name is James Gregory, and I'm the admin founder of the Crew Bar, and this is my ship story. Well, long story short, when I first left the UK, there was something called package holidays in the UK. And at the time in 2000, like most 20-year-olds, all I wanted to do was not a lot, go and play in the sun and have a great time. So for the first 3 years of my working career, I'd literally buggered off to Spain and worked in Ibiza and Mallorca, and probably remember about 2 weeks of three summers working with British holidaying guests, something similar to Club Med. You were there to make sure that those guests had a really good time, a lot of fun, and somehow got paid for it. A couple of winters as a snowboard instructor in Austria, and then decided that I was going to go home to the UK and get that big grown-up boy job. I was going to go and work in London. I was going to get the job, and I was going to do the whole London scene and live in the big city. And six months later, I was a headhunter in London. And found myself sitting on the subway tube, as we call it, obviously.
Mind the gap.
Exactly what I was just about to say, minding all the gaps. It was the middle of summer, on the way to work, and I'm on the tube just sweating away like I hadn't just had a shower. 23, 24 at the time, going, what the hell am I doing? Why was this a good decision? So during a lunch break, I was...
And this was 2000, right?
So this is about 2003 by now. And I was on the phone to about three or four different cruise recruiters that I'd been put in contact with. And within 2 weeks, I was heading off to go and work for Disney.
Disney?
Yes. So started out on Disney Cruise Line.
Was this about when they were getting started?
Just a little bit after. So Disney.
It was the red boat first, right?
So it's Big Red Boat.
That was Premier.
That was Premier. That was way back. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was actually still sitting in Freeport when I was actually docking into Freeport on the Disney Wonder occasionally. So I started on Disney in 2003, having really not known what I wanted to do with myself in the UK, and found myself working as a youth host on Disney and literally walked onto the ship. I guess a couple of people up as in the teen counselors took a look at me and said, oh, okay, yeah, he should probably come and work with the teenagers. He's got the mentality for it. And ended up starting up in the teens club, which was called Common Grounds at the time.
2003. I'm sure that we know a lot of people in common because we worked early 90s on Royal. And so a lot of those people went to Disney.
Kara, I think. Did you know Kara Callahan at the time? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's good friends with us. That's about the time that she moved over to Disney.
Yeah. Shelley Whittiak moved over to Gold Whittiak, right? Isn't she at Disney?
Doesn't ring a bell, but
I think so. I think so.
And there's a bunch of pursers that I know, like Mandy Williams and Shannon Sfera.
Mandy rings a bell. Yeah, absolutely. Mandy.
My friend Angela Gallagher was a purser on there for a while. She hated it because there was too many children.
Funny that.
I don't know how she didn't envision that.
Well, yeah, it's the strangest. Obviously, we've all been around these ships a long time. And if you haven't stepped foot on the original Wonder or Magic, it is one of the strangest things when you discover that there's a whole deck of the ship that's just dedicated to the kids' clubs, and the roofs are a touch lower in those decks. It's kind of unnerving when you kind of realize all of that.
No, yeah. I remember when they were like recruiting for there and people were going on and they were talking about like no casino. And originally they wanted to limit drinking, or there was an issue with the drinking at the beginning with how they were going to serve drinks. And we were like, how is this going to work at all? It just seems like, you know, a lot of the big revenue streams were missing, but obviously the tie-ins with the park really, really help a lot.
Oh, hugely. I mean, as we all know, Disney is just such a money-making platform that, you know.
I think Michelle Duran as well. No, she's Disney. She does the entertainment for Disney land-based.
Yes. Yes. And one of the cool things, or one of the different things that Disney does, is they do concentrate on, you know, their entertainment staff and how they go around things. You spend the couple of weeks over in Celebration before heading to the ship back in the day. Go over there, train, take your tests, make sure you know enough Disney characters off the top of your head, and you can recognize.
Really? They train? They
what?
They train you to know the Disney characters.
I absolutely didn't even think of that.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. So you think the demographic coming onto that cruise ship as employees, you know, you're coming from all around the world. They want to make sure that you can name, I think it was 80 out of 100 Disney characters that they would test you on.
Like they have 80?
What? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they go back almost 100 years. So, like, you know, they have a lot more than 100 characters.
Exactly. Yeah. And you never know what those guests are going to pop up and question you on. And you're supposed to, you are the Disney experts.
Wow. I think I've got eight. It's like, who was it? Sneezy and Dizzy and...
not Dizzy.
Oh, no, wait.
Not Dizzy.
Jesus.
That was after a visit to the crew bar.
I did.
Yeah, failed already.
But no, I mean, Disney is an interesting beast. I mean, I was one of the few that left under my own steam, I think is the best way of putting it. Wasn't asked to leave. Did 2 years on Disney and then ended up moving over to Royal Caribbean, like a lot of the Disney folks, similar to what Disney took from Royal Caribbean, where Royal Caribbean took back.
Okay.
So there was the swapping
payback.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, they definitely sent people on to make sure that they were finding certain entertainment staff to go on to, you know, the numerous Royal Caribbean ships, and a quicker, fast track to move up on ships.
What did you go on as on Royal as? And what ship?
So I started Disney Wonder and was youth staff teen counselor on there for a couple of contracts. Moved over to Disney Magic and moved into being crew staff, entertainment staff on Disney Magic. So I got a offer I couldn't say no to head on over to Royal Caribbean, and ended up moving over on a fast track to obviously move up a little bit quicker in Royal Caribbean to assistant cruise director. Started as and obviously entertainment to begin with, and then moved up to ACD on Royal Caribbean pretty quickly.
Awesome. So, on what ship?
So started out on the Legend. Somehow got lucky. I'd gone back to the UK after Disney, was there just briefly. And rather than having to pay for my first flight out to my Royal Caribbean ship, I was ported out of Southampton. So just had my father drive me down to Southampton, couple-hour drive, hopped on the ship, and most people would kill for in a cruise lifetime working. I was doing the two-week cruise around the Mediterranean out of Southampton.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, it was a really... It was double-edged sword as crew member, though. I mean, it's fantastic to go and see these places, experience, you know, a lot of the Mediterranean and do all of that. But on the other side of things, you know, everything's in euros. You're getting paid in dollars. And, you know, you're not saving a lot of money when you're doing those runs.
No, those are not money-saving runs. You need Alaska and the Caribbean, and you'll save quite a bit on those, those itineraries.
Or Freeport, Nassau, you save everything.
Yeah, right. I never got to sail the Med like continuously. I just did it through a repositioning and sailed right through. In almost five years, I never got to sail Europe.
It was fun. It was great to experience it. I mean, you know, having grown up over in Europe, you visit a lot of places. So I'd already managed to experience a lot of the different places, but you know. For a lot of the crew members, I mean, it's like once in a lifetime opportunity. You're going into Rome or Cherchevecchia, you know, you're going up, have the ability to go up to Ez just outside of, you know, Nice and Monaco, places that you wouldn't think of going. You know, it was phenomenal. It was an amazing run to do on the little old Legend of the Seas. Love that ship. Had a great time.
Little old Legend.
For you.
I mean, my last ship was Sun Viking, which had 600 guests. So like Legend is big.
Yeah. My last was Song of America.
Yeah.
The Tenders.
Yeah.
I was on the Legend.
Love it.
Who was the cruise director when you were on there?
So Mike was my starting cruise director, the Aussie Mike Hunter up. Phil Munro was the ACD on there. Walk on to the ship and, coming from Disney, obviously, you know, you can't even drink a sip of water in front of the guests. First night, British-based ship, Royal Crown, hosting, I can't even remember whether it was a trivia or something up in the Royal Crown. I'm there with the assistant cruise director, Phil, and he's like, hey, you want a drink? I nearly like choked there and then on the spot. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, you can drink in uniform? He's like, yeah, we can absolutely have a beer. And he's like, yeah, Disney. And then turned around and proceeded to start smoking a cigarette in front of the guests as well. So, yeah, it definitely broke me in and it went downhill from there.
Yeah, that's the first day on the job drinking. Like to me, somebody who worked like back office and, you know, front desk where I started out, you know, my first day going to the back office and, you know, somebody coming around and ordering drinks. And I'm like, what? We're working. Like, and they're like, yeah, no, we all drink. And I'm like, holy cow, what did I get myself into? Because this is really dangerous.
That's how you got through the day.
Who was a stage manager? Do you remember the stage manager on there?
Oh, no, I do not off the top of my head. Unfortunately, it's been a few years now.
Yeah,
I got you know how it goes. You remember the people around you, the staff around you. Some of them are still going strong, you know, and definitely obviously cruise directors and things. But yeah, it was a good time. We took that ship across, obviously repositioned back over into the Caribbean for the winter. You know, it was kind of a fun experience doing the transatlantic, saying that you've done that, kind of adding it to the collection of places that you're going to end up going. But ended up spending probably nearly 4 years on Royal Caribbean. I had the pleasure of going up to Alaska on the Vision. That's where I met my wife, who was one of the dancers in the shows.
All right. Score. Exactly.
I'm 5 years younger than I am.
What's her name?
My wife's name is Ashley. So that's the reason I ended up out here in sunny Phoenix when it came time to come off of off the oceans. My wife being from Phoenix, it was the logical place for us to head.
And you thought you were hot on the tube in London, and now you're in Phoenix. Now you really know what bacon feels like.
Right. I've become a complete wimp living here as well. It drops below 70 and I'm cold these days.
Yeah, that's me. I don't like anything under 70, but at least you don't have the humidity that is Houston. Or Cozumel.
It's over 110. Forget humidity. That's just super hot.
After you hit 110, 112, you just stop thinking about how hot it is. It doesn't matter if it's 130, then, it's just hot.
So you did a pretty good stint. Like 7-8 years?
So I did 8 years. Yeah. After Royal Caribbean, my wife got injured as we were closing down the Empress as our last ship. That old wooden stage on there did a job to her ribcage, and she had to leave ships. We weren't quite ready, so we became the port and shopping guides. So went over and worked for Mr. Bill Panoff and PPI Group, and did Carnival Holland American Norwegian for about 2 and a bit years with them. So got to play on the Rhine Dam, got to go hang out on a Norwegian ship, Norwegian Sun. Got to experience a few of the Carnival ships as well, which was definitely eye-opening when you see the Carnival crew bars compared to the rest of them, right?
Enlighten us.
Yeah.
Because we never work for Carnival. None of us work for Carnival. Tell us.
It's a different beast, obviously. But I will say they have a better alcohol selection in the crew bar than they do in the guest area. Put it that way.
Wow.
And their Italian captains can be slightly bribed and are also extremely good at Nintendo Wii. At the time. So yes. We were doing the jewelry job, and we were on the Carnival Destiny, which obviously has been renamed. I believe it's Sunshine right now, isn't it? Yeah. So we were on that ship as port and shopping guides, and because we'd managed to bribe the officers and the captains with rum cake and anything else that you could find in Grand Cayman.
Rum cake.
Yeah. God, that rum cake. God, yeah. I dream about that rum cake sometimes.
Yeah, you can order it online, Brad, if you want one.
Really?
Amazon.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
The red Tortuga, you can buy the small ones and the big ones. And actually, in Costco, they had a black one that it said Tortuga rum cake, but it was whiskey instead of rum, which was weird, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I've learned about this just now. That's going to be a problem.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm going to freaking order one probably tomorrow, because it's been probably a couple of years since I've had one.
Brad's on Amazon right now.
Yeah. He's gotten quiet while he looks up orders 5 Tortuga rum cakes.
That Tortuga rum cake bought me some time in a jewelry store. My wife was finishing sizing a ring, and it was in I think it was in Antigua. We're looking down the port. Yeah, we're looking down the port. My wife was standing 1 foot in DI, the other foot standing out of DI. I'm on the gangway with 1 foot on the gangway. We've got the staff captain screaming and shouting that he's got to go, and we're going to leave the two guests and the shoppy in the shop as we're waving at each other. And the captain radios down and asks what the hell is going on and what's the hold up. And the staff captain says, it's the shopping guides. They're holding us up. They're just getting a ring finished. And the captain I hear over the radio say, oh, it's Ashley. That's no problem. We wait. Paid off for us that day.
Nice. That's nice. You know, it's funny. We have the least amount of stories from Carnival, being that Carnival is the largest cruise employer in the world. I mean, we've had like three or four, maybe four.
We've had several people now that
four or five people from Carnival.
But, you know, I mean, considering that the three of us worked on Royal, obviously we went to our immediate contacts and the majority of them have been Royal people. But yeah, we've had people from all different cruise lines, all sorts of different cruise lines.
Well, it's funny. I mean, you know, I experienced a lot of the different cruise lines, you know, and each of them has their own weird and wonderful ways and good things and bad things, you know. Yeah. Disney is so all-inclusive at the time. It was unusual and, you know, it's Disney. The perks were great, but you got paid really not much. Moving to Royal Caribbean and discovering actually what a cruise line is. Through to, you know, the Wild West, going to Carnival, thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to Carnival. I'm going to do this. But then realizing that a lot of people on Carnival had a lot of money to spend, let's be honest. And as a shopping guide, we took advantage of that in St. Thomas, especially. You know, moving to Holland America and doing the little itty-bitty Rhine Dam and seeing some of the fun ports that you could get into on a small ship of that scale. And in some ways good, in some ways bad. I mean, crew life on Holland America at that time was still very segregated. You had the crew, you had the staff, and you had the officers' bar. You couldn't go into either or.
Right.
No, right.
Not sounding like a snob. I loved being an officer and living in a guest area. You know, you walked into the officers' bar on those ships, and, you know, there was evening food out in the bar, and it was a great time. You'd never had that in any of the ships.
So you had a pretty good run on ships, and I think that kind of leads us into the next question, or at least something that we want to talk about. Is the reason that we have you on here is you're one of the creators of the Crew Bar Facebook group, right?
The infamous Crew Bar.
So yeah. So tell us how that got started. Was this your idea?
So it sprung up. Yes, it was actually my idea, and I pulled a couple of people into it pretty quick. It sprung up a little bit before COVID hit for an idea of a different page that I was a member of from my time in Spain. There was a group of friends that had time in Spain, and they'd started a little Facebook page, and we all just kind of followed that Facebook page. It had about 500 people on there, friends, you know, just getting together and sharing photos and, you know, shooting the shit as such and having a good time. And I came home from work one day and I was sitting there with my wife, and I was kind of spitballing this idea that I'd had, that I was like, do you think anyone would actually think that a Facebook page for all crew members, that past and present from every different cruise line, would like to, you know, hang out in or catch up or share stories, information, and things along those lines? My wife looked at me and she just kind of said to me, why don't you try it? So sat on the couch, put a little page together. And to begin with, it was stories of a cruise line crew member or something along those lines. I can't remember the original name that I called it.
There you go. That sounds very familiar.
Yeah. You know, I invited a bunch of my old crew friends and, you know, hey, do me a favor and just invite your other friends. And next thing you know, within 2 weeks, you know, we're sitting at 1,000 people and then 2,000 people. And, you know, it just kept growing and growing. And, you know, it was a way of, just as COVID started hitting, people were staying in contact, letting each other know what was happening on ships, you know, dishing the dirt on each other. You know, I became kind of the chief meme officer and creating memes and GIFs for the page and just coming up with worse and worse stuff that my head could think of. And yeah, it exploded during COVID, obviously.
And you looked down, it was like 50,000 people. And
yeah, I mean, we got up to just after COVID, we were sitting around about 85,000, 86,000.
Wow. Oh, I remember that. And then something happened and it got shut down or something.
We all remember it fondly. It was called the Great Facebook Purge. I think it was 2000. And when was COVID? 2020.
2020,
21. Yeah, so it was 2021. The great Facebook purge happened, where they went through Facebook and they got rid of a lot of these different pages, and you know, it was a massive deal. It was actually in the press that these pages, all pages, were getting taken down, and they were trying to clean Facebook up. And you know, the page got taken down overnight. We tried, you know, myself and a couple other people, Rob Williamson over in Florida, another Aussie that worked on Royal Caribbean for many years as well. You know, we tried and tried to get the page back, and we've never really got an answer from Facebook of why it got taken down. Went on for about a month, and I ummed and ahed and spoke with a couple of the other admins, Rob, and just a couple of the others. I'm like, do we do it again or do we not? And what do we do differently? With the amount of messages of support that we got from crew members that were so thankful that they'd had the page, wanted us to start it again, where had it gone, what had happened. After about a month, I finally caved in and restarted the crew bar. And obviously the word got out pretty quick and exploded back up again. I think on last count with us right now, I think we're at 72,000-73,000 members again.
Wow.
And each of those members has been approved to be a member of the page through an admin. So we control it pretty heavily now. We ask, you know, as most people know, we do ask certain questions that crew members are in general the only ones that would know how to try and answer those questions to be able to allow people in. So that way we can police it a little bit. So it is, you know, the former and current crew members. But there was, you know, when we put the page together, there was just nothing like it that included all cruise lines, former and current crew members. You know, Disney had a page of Disney members, or, you know, this one had a page of that members, but there was just nothing like it. So,
right. Everybody was divided up because there was, you know, former Royal, former Disney, former.
Yeah.
You know, and they Carnival. And they still have those pages, but it's good to have a page in the middle that everybody can follow.
I mean, the thing, three of us are all members. I'm assuming you guys are, because I am.
Oh, I forgot to show you.
I don't even have mine on right now. It's too cold.
Let me ask, when this happened, and it was like, what was the thought that in your mind or your guys' mind when you woke up the next day and you were like, where's the page? Why can't I access the page? It's gone. Like, what the hell? What just happened?
I think I woke up to probably about 30 or 40 different messages from people just saying, where's it gone? What's happening? And then, you know, obviously being over here in Phoenix, I'm behind most people most of the time zone wise. So admin over in Australia was freaking out via text, via messages and stuff. And it was like, oh, I don't know. Let me find out what's happening. And as I went to log into the page and tried to get the word out that it had gone, it was like, well, crap. Okay. That's that gone.
This page doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. We've taken it down. And, wow. You know, what do you do? I mean, there really isn't much. It's not as if you can phone Facebook. That's where it was the decision of whether we were going to go for it again or not. And was it worth the time that it takes to, you know, as you guys know, you know, you do the podcasts and different things on those lines. Is it worth the time that it takes and my phone constantly blowing up with it, try and give back to the community that gave so much to me? And on a selfish point of view, I still love being involved in it in some way or form, you know. I still to this day miss the cruise line industry, and I'm still, you know, friends with many people that are working on cruise lines through to, you know, national directors of sales in cruise lines and everything in between. You know, we did get a lot of complaints when we didn't have things set up that the posts had to be approved or denied. You know, it became a little bit.
Oh, yeah. People post some of the most inappropriate things no matter where you are around the world, because I see it all the time. And you're just like, what? Why? Like,
and you guys with that many people, you guys log in or you sign in when you get home and see that there's 1,200 posts that are pending approval.
There's days actually before we came on, one of the other admin team, he just messaged me. He's just outside of Houston in La Pointe, something along those lines. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. Not too far from the port. And he's just like, you realize we've got another 619 people waiting to be approved or denied. I'm like, when the hell did that happen? I just checked this morning.
Wow.
So something happened, or work got out on a certain ship or in a certain area. But we do, it's the interesting thing. You do see spits and spurts of certain cruise lines, or something was said about the crew bar, and we'll all of a sudden see a burst of people from that cruise line. Wow. Applying to the page, it's still
we'd be only so lucky to get some of that.
Well, I think this kind of applies to us, because we have tried many times to say, hey, we have this podcast, we want guests, and you guys would deny us.
I think I had to message like two or three of the admins, and I didn't even get a reply. You just deleted my
You're
message.
Just like, no. You can't ask for people to come on your podcast. No way.
you know what? After this one, I'm sure someone might allow it.
What he's saying is stay on your good behavior, guys.
Well, the other fun thing as well is obviously we do, you know, recently we over the last couple of years have partnered with No Name Bar, which obviously is quite notorious. We have a big banner up in No Name with a QR code to try and make life a little bit easier for the crew members going in and out as well. They can just get that QR code.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Idea, guys. Idea.
Exactly.
QR codes. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so James, let's take James back onto the ships and stuff. Did you ever like almost miss a ship or anything, or any crazy parties or wild shenanigans?
Never almost miss a ship. No. Turning up to the ship and should I have been allowed back on it? That's a different game entirely. I mean, walking out the hangar in Alaska and honking up on the side of the Holland America ship and security from there looking at me as I'm stumbling back down to the Vision is still a fun one that I remember, whilst escorted by my now wife. There was definitely some fun times and great shenanigans. I mean, I hate to keep going back to it, but Disney was a wild time.
Well, wait a minute. So before we get to the shenanigans, and tell us that story about you that you just said where your wife had to escort you up.
So yeah, average day out in Alaska turned into raining hard and a drinking competition at the hangar in Alaska.
And, in Juneau.
Yes, notorious for crew members.
Yeah.
Probably hit the little pizza place behind it as well. Mm-hmm. Was it called the Viking or something along those lines?
I forgot what it's called now, but I spent a lot of time up there.
Yeah, knowing that, you know, it's got to go back and host Love and Marriage or something along those lines. It seemed like a really good idea to go day drinking. Stumbling out of the hangar after probably, I think it was fish and chips or something along those lines. Could I be much more English? And my wife who got to do the show that night, scolding me for ending up doing shots, I think, with the barman. And walking back along the front there, I just remember there was this Holland America ship sitting right there, tied up nicely to the dock. And I took one look at the ship, turned around, and just managed to somehow be sick or honk up all over the side of this Holland America ship. I don't know how I projected it that far. It's like something from The Exorcist. I mean, it was just coming out everywhere. If someone recorded that back then, it would have been really good distance. Yeah, and managed to do that in front of that ship's security staff that would just look at me like, what the hell just happened? He was just inside of the ship. And proceeded to stumble past that ship down the wharf and managed to somehow get back on the Royal Caribbean ship and carried on to host Love and Marriage game show. It probably did me a favor puking up on the side of the ship, let's be honest.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But I don't think it was long after that I was walking around when Health and Safety were on the cruise, and I was on the top of the cruise ship walking along, talking to someone behind me, turned my head pretty quick around on the top of the ship and managed to smash my nose against the side of a pole, breaking my nose and leaving it sideways on my face. Ended up down in the medical deck and getting it put back into place. So during that health and safety meeting that was going on at the time, the cruise director obviously knew and had to turn around and was just telling all the heads of departments, just like, oh yeah, James just broke his nose when the story came up. And everyone's like, ah, it's James, it's okay. But they were expecting it.
Oh yeah, no, I think we've all had our onboard accidents when it comes to like being.
I've never had.
Brian, you just don't remember you had like the Harry Potter scar you have in your head, which happened in my cabin. I sliced off part of my finger. Scott got hit in the head, didn't you, with a TV screen?
With the you mentioned the Nordic Empress. There used to be a light wall that, in the backstage, that came down like that, and I had to run to unplug and do this change or whatever. But as it was coming down, I almost forgot my cue and I ran in there and I hit it and split my head open. And at, you know, at the time in the dark, cause I did back, I'm backstage with the cast and stuff. And, you know, so I thought it was sweat. And so I'm just wiping all the sweat and stuff. And, you know, realized later that I'm just wiping blood cause it's a head wound. So, yeah.
This was before Scott had his toupee to protect his head.
I ended up with a massive cut on the top of my head when I lost a bingo board over the side of the ship in the Bay of Biscay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea to move the bingo board to take it off the ship because we were changing the boards out. And I don't know why it was up in storage up on one of the top decks. And myself and Phil Munro were moving this British bingo board. So, you know, the different type of bingo board. And we're coming through the bay. Huge gust of wind hits us. Next thing we know, the bingo board's floating down in the ocean. We didn't mention it to anyone. I don't know whether anything ever happened on that one, actually, truthfully. But,
emergency call to Bonnie Bingo?
No, God. I still probably got one of those dogs sitting in the garage somewhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had some good times.
So any other stories you want to lay on us before we let you go?
Digging around in the back of my mind. I mean, it was...
Well, while you're thinking in the back of your mind and your dating life with your lovely missus now, where would you say the wildest place that you guys did it on the ship?
He always asks these questions that are embarrassing, so you don't have to answer this.
But we want you to. We want you to.
We'll delete this whole segment unless it's something fun.
Yeah, we want it to be something fun.
I mean,
if it's boring, just leave it out.
I mean, formal nights in the assistant cruise director's office.
There you go.
Okay.
It wasn't too crazy, but I mean, it was sometimes things have just got to happen, you know? Those wheelie chairs are interesting things. one of my favorite, it's not a crazy, crazy story. It just shows how small a world it is. I was working, my wife had stayed back in Phoenix last year or so when I was a shopping guide and I was on the Norwegian ship. And at the time, my wife had no idea what she wanted to do with her life. And she was working at the Norwegian call center in Mesa, Arizona. So she was working down there and I was on a Norwegian ship and I'm sitting in the crew bar and the Norwegian head honchos decided that they were going to have their meetings on the ship. You know, all the crew members are on their best behavior in the crew bar. And next thing you know, it's the two Bobs from Norwegian come bouncing into the crew bar, the two head honchos, and take one look at myself and the art auctioneer and bring over the beers and start plonking them down at the table. And they're like, art auctioneer, shoppy. We're like, yeah. They're like, okay, we don't employ you, so we can't fire you. All right, drink with us. So sat there having a drink with the Bobs and, you know, pleasantly getting hammered as some of the other people are coming and going and whatever. And, you know, the rest of the crew are thinking, what the hell are you doing? And like, well, we're pretty impervious to what they can do. But anyway, so I'm chatting with the Bobs and I'm like, hey, Bob, do you want to have some fun? Next time you're in Mesa, when is that? He's like, I'm going to be down there in about 3 weeks. I've got to do a meeting with everyone that works in the call center. I was like, can you do me a favor? And he did remember to do it. He embarrassed the hell out of my wife, Ashley, by calling her out in the meeting when he was in Mesa as she's working. And he's like, is Ashley there? And she kind of, a little bit she's opposite like, to myself, wait, shyly puts her hand up. And he's like, your husband sends his love. So he did remember to call her out from the ship, which was kind of cool.
How fun.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, kind of.
On your wife Ashley, was she on ships longer before you or
no? So she did. Ashley was predominantly a dancer on Royal Caribbean, so she did a contract and a half before I met her. So she did about 6 years. I did 8 years. Obviously, my time on Disney was a little bit longer. And then when we got married, you know, obviously not being an American, we needed some money to save up for immigration, as we all know, costs an arm and a leg. And so I went back to cruise ships and did a couple of contracts.
I hear you. I have a Russian wife.
There we go.
My God. I mean, I did immigration for many, many years. And the maze of trying to get a fiance visa is impenetrable. It's just crazy.
I don't want to say we cheated the system, but we bent the rules.
Whatever you need to do.
My last ship, and we finished up in Canada. So my last ship was Carnival Spirit doing the Acapulco run. Here's a quick fun story. Doing the Acapulco run, you'll remember the P&P Jewelers up by the cliff divers?
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, I became really good friends with the family that owned it and the son, and it was really the only store that was in Acapulco to try and make any money on the whole cruise. And, you know, a certain boss of mine that no longer works within the cruise world and is happily retired, I won't mention his name, but is pretty famous in the shopping world, suggested that if they offered you something underneath the table, then you might want to take it to help things along. So we did, and had a good time. But apparently the routine was to there that I was coming off the ship every time it was there. And the routine was there that I go to up to the store and I come back to the port, and the family had been too routined. And this is when Acapulco was just about to go downhill rapidly in 2009. One day I'm up in the store and the armed police, the guardia, turn up, and the son is interpreting for me at the time because my Spanish wasn't that quick. And basically came out that the family had a kidnap threat against them and myself from the cartel. Family, because they'd been too routined and been watching which ways and whatever was going around. And myself, because they knew I came off the ship and they saw the name badge and knew that it was a big money-making ship. So it was put out against all of us. And the police wanted to escort me back to the port, to which the family quite quickly decided that it was not a good idea that the police took me back to the port on their own, and ended up utilizing their security to get back to the ship. And anytime we were back in and out for like the next 4 or 5 weeks, it was the family's armed security that was picking me up at the port.
Whoa.
But, you know, the naivety of being a little bit younger, I'm waiting outside Acapulco port just by the side of the road. So anything could have happened anyway.
Yeah, no, Acapulco took some turns that, you know, it got pretty scary there, where, you know, there was quite a few murders that happened in Acapulco, where ships stopped going there for a while.
That's what happened when we were on the Spirit. We were about 3 weeks before pre-positioning up to Alaska, and we pulled in and guests had already got off the ship. And then we come to find that a bunch of murders had happened, and it was police officers. Unfortunately, their heads were on spikes along the Malecon.
Yep. I remember that.
Ship.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
When was that? 2009,
2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. My last ship was a Song of America, and we went, I think it was somewhere in between Panama Canal and LA, but I can't remember what that run was. But I think it was, what was that run? Acapulco, yeah. Mazatlan.
Well, Cabo, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's the Mexican Riviera run, but sometimes they do it longer and they'll go down to, if you do a 10 day, then you'll go down to Acapulco. Yeah. That's what they used to do.
Yeah.
If it's Acapulco. Just a 7 day, then they don't go that far, but the 10 day goes that far. But it just, yeah, I mean, it's a cool place. I had a lot of fun there. We did a, on the Sun Viking on the repositioning trip, we had an overnight there, or like, you know, late sail, like a 2 a.m. sail or something like that. And the crew just got hammered that nightclub up on the hill. I don't know if you guys.
Crystal Nightclub, or was that the beach bar one?
No, I think it was called Crystal. I don't remember the name, because, I mean, it was like $20 and it was all you can eat and drink or something like that. And it was just the crew, or I mean, half the crew was carried back to the ship. It was pretty crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We talk about this all the time on here, how similar the experiences are, regardless of cruise line, but regardless of the time that you sail on there. There's just so much of that work environment that's so similar. Even though the rules may change and the ships get bigger, but like that experience is still like very, very similar. And a ship person who sailed in the 70s can talk to somebody today and really understand one another.
And the all-encompassing thing from it all is Jonah Katrina Blair, a still cruise director and assistant cruise director of Royal Caribbean from the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Love it.
Crazy.
And we all missed the drop-off.
All right. Well, James, thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. It's so great to finally get you on here. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to ask for stories on the crew bar now. Who knows? Maybe.
I don't know. Fingers crossed. Yeah, when we get this one out, I'll try to post a link onto the crew bar, see if it gets approved or not. But I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. All right.
I'll let the rest of the team know to keep an eye
out. Well, hey, also ask the rest of the team for us to have them come on here and tell some stories. I mean, we haven't really been doing anything. We've been busy with multiple things for the past 6 months, and in 3 days we've had two episodes come on. So, you know, we're ready to go again and get some people on here. But yeah, I mean, if we could get a tenth of your 70,000 people on here with some stories, and hey, get Ashley on here and tell us some backstage stories.
1% would be good.
Yeah, well, 1%.
We do have some killer admins. Myself, Rob Williams over in Florida. You know, we have Kristen up in Canada. We have Dio is our Spanish speaking admin. She's based down in Chile, but still working on ships and heads up our Instagram page, which is fully
public. Chile. That's in my wheelhouse. Right. I had a Chilean girlfriend for a while.
And I love Chile.
She lives near a lake and a farm somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much everywhere in Chile.
And one last thing, guys. I don't know whether you realized about two and a half months ago, we actually took the website live as well. So, yeah, the Crew Bar now has a website. So it's all connected to the Facebook page. It's forward speaking. Public area as well is another page that we run. And, we have some fun on Threads.
Is the Instagram page the handle? Is it the Crew Bar?
So the Instagram page is the.crew.bar. I think we're about 50 something thousand people on there following that one.
Okay. Well, you can just send me those links with some pictures. I'll be sure and post those with your episode.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, we're excited to get up and running. Obviously, it links off of the Facebook page as well, but it's a great way of getting some information out there and trying to help crew. We're building out on there to try and help crew find future cruise opportunities as well, work-wise. So it's an exciting time.
Are you doing any TikTok? Awesome.
I believe we are doing TikTok. Dio again heads up kind of the Instagram, the TikTok. I look after, myself and Rob look after the Threads page. We all have a hand on the Facebook page. We were heavily linked and heavily helping out with the CME Foundation as well during COVID that was trying to help employees and crew members get back home and legal advice and different things like that. So it's been a while.
That's great.
Different things.
That's great.
Yeah.
The Crew Bar Official.
Yes.
I think that's your TikTok. Oh, it's super new. 94 followers.
On TikTok, I know that we're not too strong, but there's room for improvement.
We really, really appreciate
thank
it.
You so
we're
going
to let you go.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure, as always, catching up with you guys. Sorry it was so long. Glad that we could make it work.
That's good.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was nice meeting with you, and thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Well, have a great night.
Okay. Ciao, ciao.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
All right.
That was awesome. What a great guy. What a great story. That's so awesome that he was on so many cruise lines and did so many things.
Hey, everyone. The ship is about to set sail, which brings us to an end for today. We hope that you enjoy the podcast. For bonus audio and if you would like to see this podcast in video, please visit our YouTube channel, My Ship Story. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram as My Ship Story. Don't forget to let us know if you're a past or present crew member, and if you have a story that you would like to tell, or if you'd like, you can email us your story for us to read on the air. Email us at myshipstorypodcast@yahoo.com. That's myshipstorypodcast@yahoo.com. Goodbye for now, and be sure to tune in next week, same time, as we'll have a new podcast every Monday. Bon voyage!